Mick, back in the UK, not quite to wrestle this time.
No, definitely not wrestling. Here on the Knights in Red Flannel World Comedy Tour. So we're going to ask the question and answer it, whether one man can do 11 comedy dates in 10 days in five countries with just one carry-on bag. And I think if that man is Mick Foley, then the answer is yes, he can.
I guess that the trying to do so many dates in one go is very similar to life on the road as a wrestler, or is it? Is the differences between traveling as a wrestler or as a comedian?
Oh, there's so many similarities, not only in traveling, but in the two businesses themselves. I'm a notorious night owl, but yet I can't sleep when I have an early flight. So not only did I get the 1 hour of sleep on the flight over to the UK, but last night I clocked in maybe 2 hours top. So I've been dragging today, and there's that sense that you get up for this appearance. Here's Sky Sports TV, and then you go to Sky News Radio, and then you do an internet thing, and then now I have to do the 2 hour meet and greet followed by the show, and hopefully I'll get some sleep tonight.
When would have been, I'm trying to think about this, when would have been the first time you toured here in the UK? I'm thinking either 91 or 93 with WCW.
With WCW, yeah. Nah, it'd probably be 93. I know that was kind of a big deal. Bill Watts was in when we did our first tour, and it was a tour 90, was it 93? 94, where I lost my ear in Munich. So some weird things happen on the road. I'm not planning on losing any body parts on the comedy tour, though.
When you were certainly full-time in the ring as a wrestler, one of the things about yourself was that you not only could bring it as an all-action kind of fighter, but also you had that kind of funny side to you as well. How much have you taken from your wrestling career into the kind of comedy realm?
Oh, they do. I guess they do. The skills do transcend to some degree, but you find out. Even in the case of a funny story in my 1999 book, Have a Nice Day, a funny story that I was telling for the first time about Stone Cold Steve Austin and William Regal figuring out we were on a specific type of beach before I figured it out, that what works as a humorous story in a book is not necessarily laugh-out-loud funny. So now the idea is, how do I take that humorous story that has laughs, the potential for laughs, how do I find them? So it's in the same way you try to tweak a good promo or maybe a match. You try to figure out ways every night to make everything a little bit better. Figure out what worked, what didn't, why it did, why it did not, and try to do better the next time.
You mentioned there about your book. So this is kind of the third string to your bow, if you like. So wrestler, comedian, but also best-selling author. Now, in my house, and I get a lot of flack from my girlfriend for this, I've got tons and tons of wrestling books all over my shelves and stuff like that, including the ones that you wrote. Now, until kind of your books or your first book came out, it was always maybe a perception that, well, wrestling fans are stupid, they're not going to read books and stuff like that. How much opposition did you face to when you brought out your first autobiography?
Well, it wasn't expected to do anything. It's similar to when people attend my comedy shows and they walk out and they're like, that was so much better than I thought. People were not expecting too much because it was the first WWE book. And nobody expected me to write it myself. I didn't expect to write it myself, except I was having trouble with the ghostwriter, who I thought was writing a very boring story. So I just picked up the pen and started writing. And then I found that the same things did appeal to me about writing, which was you get the same emotions from people. I would go into the dressing room and I would read it out loud to some of the guys. And you get the laughter, you get the wincing. Stone Cold Steve Austin broke into tears at a certain point, and you're like, this is like being in the ring without getting beaten up. So there is that sense of immediacy with comedy also, whether or not it's laughter or whether I'm just looking at an audience and they're really, really listening. It's very gratifying to me.
You're back with WWE now after a few years of absence. You were over in TNA, the sort of other big American company. What's it like being back there? I mean, I guess there's different faces from before in terms of the guys you were working with. What's the reception been like from all of the people within WWE to you returning?
Oh, they can't stand me. No, I believe I'm under the idea that I'm pretty well liked there. What I really enjoy about WWE is that there's so many ways, to make a a difference without necessarily being on the show a lot. You know, it just so happens that I'm over here in the UK doing the comedy tour. When I got the call, hey, would you like to be on Sky Sports? Would you like to be on Sky News? Yeah, I love doing that. I mean, I love the company. Even when I was mad at Mr. McMahon, you know, I always loved the company. It always seemed like home and like a place I would eventually return to. So I think people, they enjoy having me around. I think I treat everybody with respect, and I get that back from the guys and the divas as well.
Certainly your in-ring appearances are limited nowadays, which if anyone who's followed your career knows, there's good reasons for that. You're pretty banged up, I reckon.
I am pretty banged up. There's a price to pay, you know, at a larger level for everything you do. Every action comes with a consequence. And it wasn't like I was blind to that. I knew that doing this high-impact stuff was going to take a toll. And so you can see I walk kind of slow, you know. I struggle going up and down stairs. But that's kind of a small price to pay for having had the chances that I've been afforded. And speaking of chances, how's this for a clumsy segue? Could I just mention the raffle I'm doing for WrestleMania before I have to leave and go to the venue? It's a great thing, and I mentioned it's 100% for charity after expenses. People can go to realmickfoley.com/mania. It is open to everybody in the world, obviously including the UK. And with that grand prize, you get up to $3,000 in airfare round trip. You get the two tickets to WrestleMania, the two tickets to the Hall of Fame, the two tickets to Access, lunch with Eve Torres, the Bellas, and one other diva to be named later, breakfast with me, three nights hotel, and believe it or not, a cup of coffee with David Otunga.
Which is a hell of a prize.
That's you know what? I looked at it. I was like, it almost sounds like too much to be true. So just go to that website, realmickfoley.com/mania, and check it out for yourself. And you can enter for as little as $10 U.S. And like I said, all of that money goes to a group I work with at home called RAIN, which is the United States' largest anti-sexual assault organization.
Heading into WrestleMania, I mean, this, you know, every year we kind of can say, well, this is going to be the biggest WrestleMania ever, or it's going to be this, that, and that. And sometimes it kind of, they're always big, but sometimes they're not quite as big as others and all this. This year's, particularly because of the main event that's upcoming, this pretty much is going to be the biggest one ever, is it not?
It sounds like it. People thought that WWE was crazy a year ago when they announced their main event a year in advance. I thought, well, we know Christmas is coming a year in advance. You know, in the U.S., we know the Super Bowl is coming a year in advance. So these are things that people really look forward to. And, you know, it went off the radar for several months, and then it would peak back up when The Rock showed up. But it was in the back of people's minds. And so the proof was in the pudding, as we say, and the fact that it set an all-time, you know, opening day gate record. And I think it's going to be a great show. You have you know, that great main event, Cena and The Rock, but you also have The Undertaker putting his streak on the line against Triple H in a Hell in a Cell, which could really use a guest referee, in my opinion. And then, to me, knowing both guys involved, I know that CM Punk and Chris Jericho are going to want to steal the show, and I think they just might.
Lastly, then, talking about that Hell in a Cell, I mean, the most famous moment of your career, I would say, is the night you were hurled off that cell by The Undertaker, June 98 in Pittsburgh. It was very much a big surprise this week, I think, because we've kind of all sort of known, pretty much, that Undertaker, Triple H, the rematch this year at Mania, has been on the cards. Suddenly that Hell in the Cell thing is announced, and it's like, well, that just puts it on this kind of extra special level, doesn't it?
I think so. I mean, I got a little heat when I was on Twitter for spoiling a surprise when I said, hey, it would be an honor to be involved in The Undertaker's last match. And people said, what do you mean, last match? I was like, I'm just guessing, you know, like, that's what makes sense to me. And I don't know if The Undertaker is the type of guy, like I am, to exploit the last match. You know, I don't know if he's going to necessarily say this is my last match. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, you know, especially if he ends and it's 20-0. I think it could be the last time we see The Undertaker. And I think it'll be a great match. Both those guys, again, you know, they have the know-how. Both of them are beaten up and worn down, especially The Undertaker. But I believe, you know, I don't believe, knowing him, that he would step foot in the ring unless he thought that he could live up to the very high standards that he's set for himself.
Very quickly, then we want more info on the raffle or the upcoming comedy shows. Okay. Where can we go to? Website or something?
Oh, the same way you went to realmickfoley.com/mania, just go to realmickfoley.com and then you can hit the events, and it's got all the UK shows and Ireland. The Irish are fond of telling me they're not part of the UK. I made that mistake once. But we're hitting not only London, but then we go to Cardiff and Birmingham and Sheffield and Liverpool and Dublin and Belfast. And there are tickets left for a few of those shows. So you can go to realmickfoley.com, I think it's /events, and see what's up. But I'd really like this raffle to raise a lot of money. I love the idea that, the sports entertainment business, and WWE in particular, really can do some great things. I mean, we're always going to have our detractors, but I've been around a long time, and I've seen some really amazing things that the company is capable of, and I think this is something they're allowing me to do. It's my deal, and it's my organization that I volunteer for, but they're helping me. They're allowing all this to happen, and I want to be able to make a big difference through them.
Thank you.
It's realmickfoley.com/mania.